Well, you've heard all the talking points through the media about homosexuality, but what's the truth? Do people ever really change? Are homosexual relationships the same as heterosexual? And how many people are actually gay? We'll sort out myth from fact today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's some subjects that just come our way that we can't avoid. They come our way day and night, whether we want to deal with them or not. And they involve real people. They involve friends, family members. They involve the courts. They involve the churches. They involve the media. And the subject we're talking about today, myth and fact, when it comes to homosexuality, it's one of those subjects. That's why over the last 10 years, I've been burdened to address these issues more, reaching out to individuals with the compassion of the Lord as neighbors, fellow citizens, fellow human beings created in the image of God for whom Jesus died, at the same time resisting the goals of gay activism, which obviously I differ with on many different levels. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We have talked a lot about Israel over these recent days. Obviously, these are critical times in the nation. Tomorrow, we're scheduled to have on the air Waleed Shubat in the first hour. In the second hour, Brigitte Gabriel. If you miss any of those broadcasts, which will certainly be very hot, controversial, lively broadcasts, by all means, catch them later on my website, sdrbrown.org. Click on Latest Audio to do that. Tonight, there should be a new article of mine out about the fine line between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism, another important article. I believe you'll want to read that. So just go to my website. It'll all be there. But today on Wednesday, we often focus on issues in the society, worldview Wednesday, moral, cultural issues. We are focusing on issues, again, that are knocking on our door every day in state after state after state in America, where the people have voted, in some cases overwhelmingly, that they are not interested in redefining marriage, that they believe that it's important we hold to the historic definition of marriage, which is not just abstract, but based in reality, man and woman coming together as one, and the general role being, the norm being that they come together as one. Only man and woman have that special compatibility of same but different in that unique way. The two come together as one. They can produce children as a general rule. Remember, society is based on general rules. The speed limit is up there, not based on what a NASCAR driver could do, but what's best for society as a whole. So produce children and join those children to a mother and father. That's why government gets involved with it. Otherwise, government doesn't get involved. But in state after state, judges have said that the so-called ban on same-sex marriage, it's really saying, no, we're not going to redefine it, that this is unconstitutional. Some have even said it robs human dignity. And I'm quite aware that there are many gays and lesbians who are thrilled that they can, quote, marry, that they love their partner, that they want to have certain societal recognition, and they're sincere and they're committed. I don't doubt that. And many of them, as human beings go, are very decent, fine people. I say as human beings go because we're all fallen and flawed, every one of us as human beings. But I don't doubt for a second that there are couples that love each other dearly, that are kind, nice people. If they have kids that are devoted to their kids, I don't doubt that. It's simply not marriage. It's not what has always been marriage. And once you redefine it, it becomes meaningless as we see more and more day by day. And sadly, the quote, social status, or the recognition that many couples have wanted through having their relationship recognized as marriage becoming so meaningless in society that having it is not having much these days. In any case, we're going to separate myth from fact. If you have a question, if you want to challenge me, please don't just tweet out a message during the show or post on Facebook. You can't respond to those, especially during a broadcast. Call. Tell me why you differ. 866-34-TRUTH. You can even call me a bigot. That'll make you happy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We just want the cultural status of being married, because we are. And it, you know, ultimately it's just unconstitutional, and it's unfair, and it's unjust not to extend that to all loving and committed couples.
Well, that was a statement after a judge in Virginia. There are many of you listening to me right now in the state of Virginia. The Fourth Circuit struck down the ruling in Virginia. Again, this is the vote of the people. The vote of the people. They said they do not want to redefine marriage, but Fourth Circuit struck this down and said, no, marriage is the union of two people. Again, why two? If it's not a man and a woman, why two? Still haven't gotten an answer to that. Put that out for a long time, for years, have not gotten an answer to that. But listen to this. Dale Carpenter reporting 2 days ago in the Washington Post, the court explicitly used the word, quote, segregation to describe the exclusion of same-sex couples from marriage. So then any group that you exclude, any match or mix that you exclude could be the same segregation argument. Quote, this is the court ruling. We recognize that same-sex marriage makes some people deeply uncomfortable. However, inertia and apprehension are not legitimate basis for denying same-sex couples due process and equal protection of the laws. Civil marriage is one of the cornerstones of our way of life. It's because of what marriage is. It allows individuals to celebrate and publicly declare their intentions to form lifelong partnerships, which provide unparalleled intimacy, companionship, emotional support, security. Left out children. A slight oversight by the court. The choice of whether and whom to marry is an intensely personal decision that alters the course of an individual's life. Denying same-sex couples this choice prohibits them from participating fully in our society, which is precisely the type of segregation that the 14th Amendment cannot countenance. What garbage is that for a legal ruling, for legal reasoning? You know, there is one ruling where the courts said that same-sex couples can procreate. Now, by that, they meant that they can, with the help of someone else, bring a child into the relationship. I understand that, fully understand that. But that is not procreating. Two men, two women cannot procreate, no matter how much they love each other and care for each other. It's only male and female that can bring a child into the world. That tells you something about divine design and intent. Now, as I'm listening, I know that some of you listening, I can't give stats, but I know that some of you listening profoundly differ with me and say, you don't know my family, you don't know my life. It's true. I'm not making blanket judgments about all gays and lesbians. I'm simply saying that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, not the union of two people or a person and something else. 866-34-TRUTH. Not sure when during the program we'll be hearing from Austin Nimux. He is a leading attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom to talk about what's happening in state after state. There was a warning by Justice Scalia that we could expect to see after a major Supreme Court ruling. We could expect to see it misinterpreted, misused, or a wrong decision implemented that would have this very effect across the country, where judges would be overturning the will of the people. That's been happening. It's not the end of the story. And ultimately, because God did not ordain two men to be together, two women to be together, and it violates his order, and it's not in the best interest of society, this too shall pass ultimately. Some say, well, this is it. It's over. Jesus is coming any minute. Well, if he comes any minute, then everything's going to pass. Then all of our arguments are moot at that point. The only question is, are you in right relationship with him? But, yeah, it's grievous. It's painful. I hate to see this happen to our society. And my heart breaks for gays and lesbians who are celebrating this. And of course, will look at me as a bigot. I care about them as individuals. But that's not basis for redefining marriage. So let's just talk about some myths, and I'm going to go to the phones. 866-34-TRUTH. What about the idea look, animals do it. You can't say it's unnatural because this is found in hundreds of species in the animal world. So to say it's unnatural, you don't even understand nature. Okay. First, homosexual behavior in the animal world is very diverse. And yeah, I have books that argue this very point. It's natural. It's found throughout the animal world. But in many cases, it's unrelated to what would be human homosexuality. In other words, there are cases where it's just acts of dominance, one over another, positioning and things like that. In some cases, it seems to be a purely sexual act that has nothing to do with a relationship of any kind. Of course, that exists in heterosexual and homosexual circles as well. But the quote that really settles it in terms of exposes the fallacy of this argument comes from Dean Hamer. He is a scientist and a gay activist, one of those looking for, quote, the gay gene or gay genetic explanation for homosexuality. And he said this in response to the argument, well, animals do it, must be natural. This is a gay activist scientist. Dr. Hamer said, pigs don't date, ducks don't frequent stripper bars, and horses don't get married. Anyway, since when are animals good role models? The praying mantis devours her mate while they are still copulating. Male dogs will mount their daughters. Animals don't speak, write love songs, build churches, or do a lot of other things that we consider worthwhile. So the whole idea, well, animals do it, is really self-defeating. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, one more, then I'm going to go to the phones. The number of gays in society, the percentage of gays, since Alfred Kinsey's famous study was released in 1948, we've been told 1 in 10 is gay. Now, Kinsey's studies were terribly flawed. Some of his database was quite misleading. For example, if you use the prison population, there's going to be more homosexual activity among men in prison, which is certainly not representative of society as a whole. And Kinsey himself was, if anyone was a pervert, he was a pervert. Read his history, read about his life and all the sexual practices he engaged in, and even familial, incestuous relationships, according to reports. In any case, gay activists have quotes where they said it's a convenient figure to use, even though it's too high. It's not accurate. I've read other gay activists years back saying it's probably around 5%. Well, recent studies, even sponsored by gay researchers, have yielded a number much lower. 3% lower. Well, the Centers for Disease Control just completed a major survey and published the results. And what they discovered was that 1.6% of the population identifies as gay or lesbian. Another 0.7% says that they are bisexual. So even if you add that in, that's 2.3%, not 10%, not 1 in 10, but less than 1 in 40, and really less than 1 in 50. Now, here's what's wild. Gallup poll indicated a couple years back that Americans think it's 1 in 4, 25%. And the younger generation thinks it's about 1 in 3, around 30%. How's that happen? Media? People being brainwashed, confronted day and night with gay issues, gay-related issues. It's even seen that last year, when there was a lot of discussion about the Supreme Court and the ruling, will they overturn DOMA, that reporting in the news was, even when the nation was quite evenly divided over this, in the news it was running 5-1 reporting in favor of redefining marriage against upholding marriage. Think of that. So it's not 1 in 10, and you better believe it's not 1 in 4 or 1 in 3, more like 1 in 40 or probably 1 in 50. You're going to have a massive social experiment based on a percentage of that tiny percentage that said we want to redefine marriage. Does that make sense? All right, to the phones. Let's go to Jerry in South Amboy, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good morning. Very good afternoon, Dr. Brown. You know what? You brought up a couple things that I was interested in. Is the percentage of gays, and also, and it was one other thing. But my question is, I have a friend of mine, and we're on the opposite sides of the homosexual agenda, and you know we discuss it quite frequently, and he just can't understand. He says, like, where in the Bible does it say that homosexual is wrong? And, you know, I try to show it to him, and he just, you know, disagrees with anything I say. He just doesn't believe it. And one other thing.
Well, does he care? Does the Bible have authority in his life?
It does, but there are things in the Bible that he doesn't believe. Like, he said, do you really believe that the Bible, that the world was built in, you know, that God made the world in 5 days? Or 7 days, rather, 6 days.
Right, right. Got it. Yeah, so, I mean, he believes. Tell you what, Jerry, stay right there. I want to send you a free resource for you and your friend to watch. It's a terrific DVD, Such Were Some of You. I want to send that to you. So, Dwight, get Jerry's info. I want to send this to you as a gift, sir.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just kind of quietly took the step. I just thought, I believe him. I'm just going to follow him. So that was my conversion. It was very quiet. It wasn't very dramatic. There was no change in my sexuality having made that decision. I think it was just a change in my allegiance. At that point, I thought, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Ah, that is a clip from the video, the DVD, Such Were Some of You. It's very powerful. It deals with the biblical issues. I'm on that as well. It deals with the social issues, but most of all, it deals with the personal issues, stories of people who have been changed. Stories of people who for many years have lived a transformed life. That's one of the myths, by the way, that no one ever changes, no one ever comes out of homosexuality, that you just have people who are suppressing their real sexuality and they all go back, or else they're bisexual and just switched over to heterosexuality for a while. Well, that's the case with some. Some were bisexual and said no to their homosexual desires, and others struggled for many years and went back to homosexual practice. Yeah, certainly, and some prominent ones at that. But I can't tell you how many people I've met over the years. My late brother-in-law came out of homosexuality. But I can't tell you how many people I've met over the years in so many different settings who've come up to me with a giant smile, told me about the life they lived and how long they lived, gay or lesbian lifestyle, and how they've been transformed in Jesus, happily married, some happily single, and radiating and blessed. I know all too many, and they're not professional. You say, well, where are they? I meet them all the time. I meet them all over the place. I've asked questions on Facebook, if this is your story, and many have posted this. Now, bear in mind, God calls us to holiness, not heterosexuality, meaning that if you come to faith, the goal is to live a life pleasing to the Lord in holiness, not necessarily that you have to now marry someone from the opposite sex, but many are changed. You say, well, I wasn't. Okay, I believe your story, but I'm asking you to believe their story. Well, they're all lying. See, now you're just getting judgmental based on your own experience. I believe your story that you tried to change and couldn't. You have to believe their story that God touched them and helped them. Is he unable to? Are you telling me that there are no behaviors that can change and no deep-seated desires that can change? 866-34-TRUTH. That is another myth, powerful myth, but another myth that is out there. Going to the phones in one moment. Let me just tell you about this DVD, Such Were Some of You. It's one that you have been waiting for because we get bombarded with calls and questions, just like our first caller. What do I tell my friend? The Bible says, parents, spouses, individuals, pastors, if we could just deal with this and help people day and night, we would, because there's that much demand. Well, my colleague David Kyle Foster has put out a powerful DVD. The stories of transformed lives will move you. The biblical discussions, the social discussions, super useful. With postage, it's $20, but when you order it, we're giving you free a second DVD. My debate with Rabbi Shmuley is homosexuality, America's greatest moral crisis. I think just the opening statement will blow you away, but we're giving that free with it. So it's a great resource offer as well. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Let's go back to the phones. Mary in Ashburn, New Jersey, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Mary.
Okay, listen, I have a question about why not have a durable power of attorney or a medical directive person designated, you know, because I was, a friend said, well, her sister got married to her live-in roommate there. When they're under crisis or something, they said that for the relatives come in and divide up, you know, if there's a medical emergency, someone dies or property or something. And number two, I thought that somebody could designate who you want your goods
yes.
to go to. And if you have a medical directive,
right, for visitation and hospital. Right, so what you're addressing is the concept that without civil unions or marriage, that homosexuals will not be able to take advantage of the benefits that come to married couples. And that's what you're addressing. So, Mary, let me respond to that. But thank you for raising that issue. Okay, number one, when Nancy and I got married, the last thought on our mind was we get some tax benefit filing taxes as a couple, or we get certain legal zero. That was the last thing on our mind. We loved each other, wanted to make a lifelong commitment to one another. So that's the first thing, all right, that we didn't do it for those reasons. You say, yeah, well, that's the way I am with my partner. We just want to make a lifelong commitment. Okay, well, you can do that still. If you're committed to each other, you can without societal recognition. And if society didn't recognize our union, we'd be married and united anyway in God's sight. But back to the point of benefits. Yes, you can. I'm not an attorney, but I have been told by other attorneys that whatever it is with property, with taxes, with hospital visitation, that you can legally designate your partner to receive benefits upon your death, or that your partner can visit you in the hospital even though it's not a spouse or immediate family member. And I believe couples should be able to set up whatever they want to. And if they want to have someone, visit them, if you're living together with someone, a man and woman, and you're not married, and you want that person to be able to visit you in the hospital, I believe you should have the right to. And if you want to sign certain things over to a person rather than another family member, you should have the right to. I agree with that. But just don't call it marriage. Hey, thank you for the call, Mary. Appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me. First of all, I just want to say thank God for you and your radio station and your program. You're doing wonderful things. My question is, why do you oppose gay marriage? And the reason I ask that is because oftentimes when I am presenting my side of how I feel about gay marriage, I'm challenged. And one of the challenges that, you know, we get is that, what's the difference between if your basis is the Bible, what's the difference between a man and a man getting married versus two unsaved individuals from the opposite sex getting married?
Yeah, and John, and thank you for the kind words and for the question. Actually, we're not just basing this on the Bible, although obviously God's word informs us and influences us, and this is how we form many of our decisions, but we're simply asking what is the definition of marriage. Marriage is not just the union of two people. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. The only reason that society cares about marriage as an institution, the only reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. And those benefits, as a general rule, are a man and woman coming together, producing children, and joining those children to a mother and father for the good of the society and the next generation. That's the only reason we get involved. Get online, John, and Google Ryan T. Anderson. Ryan T. Anderson. You'll see a ton of stuff he's putting out on marriage, both in written and video form, that you'll find very helpful to answer this just from a secular point of view.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about myths and facts when it comes to homosexuality, homosexual practice. And we have said repeatedly that once you redefine marriage, that you make it meaningless. Let me just give you some examples of this. The same media that is promoting homosexuality and celebrating homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism is the same media that is celebrating polyamory and polygamy. And the same society that has no issue with people having sex outside of wedlock, with people living together outside of wedlock, with people having kids outside of wedlock, is the same society that is also embracing homosexuality. Joey, let's start with clip number two. This is NBC News, July 11th, reporting on the phenomenon of polyamory. Let's start with clip number two.
If somebody said, describe your family to me, I would say, there's two dads, one mom, and one person dating another person.
Oh, no big deal, right? Just another family. The caption, one big, happy, polyamorous family. Well, let's listen to the discussion about this great, great little family, clip number three.
If Mommy and Jeremy are out on a date, Daddy will be there and we'll do stuff together. And if Daddy and Mommy are on a date, me and Jeremy will take over the house.
And you like that?
I like that. I'll always have somebody there.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. And it's best for the kids, right? Dad, a mom, and the mom's boyfriend. Yes, it's always somebody home for the kid. And look, they're just regular people. Isn't that the same thing we're told about gay couples? Many of them are just regular people working their jobs, going home, bringing their families. I understand that. Yeah, there is more partying and promiscuity. That's true. That is part of gay culture. And a lot of this, especially in the male scene, that's hard to deny that. I think it's widely accepted within gay and lesbian community. But plenty of folks, just regular people, just working their jobs and so on. Clip number four, again, NBC News, July 11th. One big, happy, polyamorous family.
It kind of just sounds like you're judging.
We're just people. We have jobs, we live our lives, and we're not doing anything freaky or weird. We're just here.
Yeah, I don't want to judge them, do you? Sounds like judging. Just regular people. You got a problem with that? That's your problem. Two moms and a dad and all together, or several boyfriend, girlfriend arrangements. I've seen it with two couples, and they all just move in and so on and shack up together, and it's, hey, it's normal. I read about one couple where the wife wanted to have a child, the husband didn't, so her other lover moved in. They're going to have a child with him, and she sleeps with him sometimes, with the other one sometimes, and everything's just fine. He has his affairs, and everybody's happy. It's good. Some even say it's better for the children. I've even read that. All right, let's keep going. One more clip.
Why do you think most people didn't want to be filmed here tonight or wanted to come out and share their story?
Yeah, it's almost like the new gay, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's the new gay, I guess. Hey, don't look at me like that. Don't say, man, that's not fair. I mean, we're not doing that. We're just two men or we're just two women. We don't have another boyfriend on the outside or somebody else on the outside. Oh, well, hang on. You have a problem with me saying what you're doing is wrong, but you have no problem saying what they're doing is wrong. Based on what standard? Once you redefine marriage, it can mean literally anything. And we're seeing it proven out in front of our eyes every day. Can't deny it. We'll be back with your call. Stay right here.
The Line of of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let me throw out one more myth, and then we'll go to the phones. I'll tell you what, let's go right to the phones, and then I'll get to some further myths. And if you take issue with anything I'm saying, you think it's inaccurate, you find fault with it, call. I won't scream and yell at you. I may differ with you, but you'll get your say. If you can articulate it, glad to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rockaway, New York. Oh, I'm ready to go to Rockaway. We live right next to Rockaway many years ago, early 80s. Let's go to Brooklyn. Freddie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I think what's going on, and I think what I'm mostly against, is that they've built into the system a kind of disregard for children when it comes to, like, adopting for homosexual couples. Because there's a whole lot of data that says that homosexuals have a higher STD rate. Much, much higher. They have a higher suicide rate, alcoholism, drug abuse. So if a heterosexual couple went to adopt and said, well, yeah, I've thought about all of that, and I have sexual transmitted diseases, and, they would never get a kid. But if homosexuals come with that data, which we all know that data is pretty accurate, then the welfare of that kid is just discounted, and it's just handed over. It's like that data doesn't even matter. You wouldn't hand a kid over to a couple that had a very bad history or was susceptible to all of that negative way. And you can't raise a child in an environment like that. So I think that the kids' rights have always been discounted just to make amends for gay marriage and gay adoption.
Yeah, I very much appreciate the points that you made. And I was reading an article yesterday by Terry Jeffrey on townhall.com, where he said the movement demanding legal recognition for same-sex marriage has made a radical and profoundly uncharitable assumption. It is this: adult homosexuals need and have a greater right to same-sex marriage than babies have to their mothers. You cannot simultaneously claim babies have a right to their mothers and two men have a right to marry each other, nor, of course, can you simultaneously claim that babies have the right to their fathers and two women have a right to marry each other. So, Freddie, the way that gay activists would respond to you is they would say, number one, the main reason that you have higher rates of depression, suicide, substance abuse, and even STDs is because of homophobia in the society. That's another myth. Now, I don't doubt that rejection that many who identify as LGBT, that rejection that they have suffered through the years contributed to some aspects of abuse or depression or even promiscuity. However, even when you have cities, societies that embrace homosexuality, that celebrate homosexuality, you still have higher rates of drug use, of suicide, of depression. In fact, I was reading an article from Australia, I believe, that said that these researchers determined that the greatest reason for anxiety, depression in homosexual circles was volatility of their relationships and not homophobia. Then I was reading an article in England where they reaffirmed that there was much higher drug abuse among homosexuals than heterosexuals. And the gay activist who wrote a response said, look, it is true. We hook up a lot more in bars. We use drugs more in sex. Most of us don't have kids, so we can be out more partying. And then at the end, he puts down, rejection right at the end. So he wasn't blaming this primarily on, quote, homophobia either. Another response would be, look, there have been many, many studies now, and these studies have shown that children raised by gay couples, because there are plenty of homosexual couples that are not out partying, that are not in the bars, that are not getting high, that are not, you know, sleeping around, you know, every day with somebody else, and that are seeking to have stable lives and families like heterosexual couples. And we're told by gay activists that statistics now prove that kids raised by two moms or two dads are no different than kids raised in heterosexual homes. In fact, one study came out recently said that they're doing even better. Well, that one was based on the opinion of the gay parents. It was not based on surveying the kids and watching them over many years. Well, Mark Regnerus did a study, and he looked at the data and came to opposite conclusions, as a result of which he's been vilified. There were attempts to get him fired from the university where he teaches. So you can't even raise contrary data without all types of attacks coming your way. And in reality, there is massive study for many, many years indicating kids do best when joined to a mother and father. There is very slight the database for studying those raised by same-sex couples remains too small to really evaluate. But what has been seen is a pattern that even if the kids are socially adjusted in many other ways, that when it comes to sexual experimentation, questioning gender identity, and questioning their own sexual orientation, those are at a much higher percentage rate with someone raised by two moms or two dads. And others have come with their own stories, said, I had no idea how to relate to other men, because I was raised by two mothers. I had no idea how to relate properly to other women. So, of course, there are many issues that come up. And what's in the best interest of the children? The best interest of the children is to be with their mom and dad. And if they're to be adopted into a home where they can be cared for by a mom and dad. So, Freddie, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I understand that there's a lot of factors that might contribute to why their lifestyle is like that. And it's sad, and I'd love to help them to change those ways of the lifestyle, to get away from that. But immediately, let's work on changing those risk areas and not just throw a child into the mix. It's still throwing them into a dangerous situation.
Yeah, and I appreciate the perspective. And again, you may be listening to me and say, that's not me. And in fact, I've got to reach out to a gal in my city or in my state who communicated with us, and we've got contact info to reach out for my wife and I to sit with her and her lesbian partner. She said, look, I don't do drugs. We don't get drunk. We live normal lives. We're committed to each other. We've got amazing kids. And again, you might say, and I know these heterosexuals with messed up relationships, we're looking at overall percentages. We're looking at overall. That's how decisions have to be made for kids, for families. So these are, of course, important questions to discuss. Freddie, I appreciate you calling. Now, you can brand us both homophobes. You can if you like. And that's another myth, that all opposition to redefining marriage, all opposition to normalizing homosexuality is based on homophobia, some irrational fear and hatred of homosexuals and homosexual practice. It's actually a myth. It's actually a total myth. Are there hateful people out there? You got hateful everybody. You got whites who hate blacks and blacks who hate whites and Jews who hate Asians and Asians who hate Jews and gays who hate straights and straights who hate gays. You got hate all over the place. But the only thing that's happened in me over these 10 years of being burdened to address these issues, the only thing that's happened to me is a great deepening of compassion for individuals. And here, you want to know how non-homophobic I am? This may seem like a silly illustration, but I'm just going to use it. Elton John has not exactly been the example of the perfectly stable life and relationship. I mean, he's had drug issues, and I imagine there's been sex with a lot of different people. I just would think with his celebrity and fame and so on. And so I'm not looking at him as like this perfect moral model or anything. But I'll watch sometimes different musicians, YouTube, some things. I'll try to look at history and what's happened with culture. I happened upon Elton John singing Rocket Man at Wembley Stadium. I was never an Elton John fan. I was into hard rock before I was saved, and then Elton John's Rise came after that. But I'll just watch that and see the gifts he has to sing and you know, his ability to play and create a certain atmosphere. I'll just watch that, and I think I want to be a friend of the homosexual community, not an enemy. Just something that small, in other words, just reminds me of creativity and gifting. And so I care about individuals. That's not the issue. My opposition to normalizing homosexuality or saying that God is against homosexual practice or that we should not redefine marriage has nothing to do with hate, nothing to do with homophobia. I don't identify with those. I don't understand that. It has to do with love for God, love for my neighbor, even if I'm hated for it. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, 866-348-7884. So I've been dealing with some myths. I've got a chapter in a book that should be coming out middle of next year that, by God's grace, will be a real eye-opener, dealing with many cultural issues and bringing some hope and encouragement in the midst of things. But some of the lies that I'm talking about get debunked on this important DVD, Such Were Some of You. And there is the belief in some circles that any therapy, any counseling, any sexual orientation change efforts are harmful. And I have no question that there are people who have gone to counseling, tried to change, and that got them even more frustrated. Now, the fact is, you'll find that with just about any type of counseling. Someone goes to try to overcome alcoholism, and as a result of their failure, they become more entrenched in alcoholism, or they even kill themselves with hopelessness. They get counseling to help try to deal with food addictions, and they end up fatter than ever. Those things do happen. I don't doubt when someone comes with a horror story. I don't say they're making it up, although some are known to be made up. I mean, some it's documented or just made up. But the idea that all therapy or counseling is harmful is a lie. There are plenty of people. It's just their testimonies get discounted, and people write it off. In other words, you combat a lie with another lie. You bring the lie that all counseling, therapy, prayer, ministry, professional, sitting down with a psychologist and working through issues and talking through issues and understanding who you are and getting to the root of some of your emotions and responses and so on. You first say that's all harmful, and you try to get it banned for minors in your state. Who knows? They try to get it banned for everybody if we see the activism continue to go the extreme ways it's going. The opposite of tolerance, the opposite of diversity, the opposite of inclusion on every level. So you spread the lie that all therapy, all efforts, all sexual orientation change efforts are harmful. And then many say, no, I was really helped by it. Boy, you know, I spent about 2 years with a counselor, and I got to all the roots of things and resolved them, and certain things, my relationship with my dad and some stuff when I was abused as a kid, and I'm like a new person. And in fact, I'm dating a gal, and we really care about each other. I've been greatly helped, or whatever the cause, whatever the issues were, plenty. Talk about how they're changed, how they're helped, or how they just learned to moderate sexual impulses and desires, and even if they haven't become heterosexual, they've seen great positive change. Absolutely. So now how do you combat, how do you respond to the truth? With another lie. Oh, nobody ever changes. They're not telling the truth. They're just suppressing things. So you it's basically like saying there are no human beings in the world over 6 foot 5 inches tall. None exist. And then you bring in an NBA basketball team and say, no, they're aliens. They're not human beings. No, they're wearing suits or something. Truth overcomes lies, and the only way to respond again is with another lie. It's one of the things I'll get into in this book coming out next year. Let's just hear firsthand from people who've been touched, who've been changed, who've been impacted. Joey, we'll go to clip number 13. This is straight from the DVD, Such Were Some of You.
God's answer was to say to me, I love you. And then he said, you don't have to be gay. And I thought, well, that didn't come from me, because I sure didn't agree with that. I sure didn't believe that. And I just stopped in my tracks and I said, okay, what does that mean?
So here's someone that God deals with and says you don't have to be gay. You say, I've seen people that say they're changed and they still sound effeminate. And that proves what? I know plenty of people that seem effeminate, they're completely straight. And others that seem effeminate are totally gay. And others that used to be gay and are not. If you listen to Si Rogers speak, you'll see certain mannerisms. He seems effeminate. He's committed Christian, following Jesus many years, renounced homosexual practice many years ago. I think he was even on his way to sex change surgery, if I know his story right. But search for him. S-Y, Si Rogers. The point is, if you say, yeah, but I don't know, that one messed up, and that one, John Polk, even put him in your book, Queer Thing Happened to America, that he was ridiculed and he never changed, and now it's proven he never really changed. He's gone back to his homosexual lifestyle and has left his wife and has left his kids. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a terrible shame. I'm sad for him. I'm sure his relationship with God, I don't know if he professes to have one now, but I'm sure it's not in good shape. My heart goes out to him. His wife, Anne, going on strong in the midst of it. Fortunately, the kids don't have the dad they had before in many ways. That's sad. Yeah, he messed up. That's a shame. And was he living in denial or never? God knows. I'm not going to psychoanalyze someone I don't know, especially from a distance. I reached out to him when I was writing my book, and he told me he was doing well and happily married and enjoying being a father. And was he telling me the truth then or lying? God knows. But here's the deal. Those that have fallen and messed up, yeah, there's some prominent ones. I understand that. But there's so many who haven't. And it's been years and years and years and years and years and years and years. I get emails from them. I hear from them. I read their stories online. Some of them I know personally. So what's the answer? Well, they're lying. See, that demonstrates when someone doesn't have the truth on their side, when the only way you can respond to factual evidence is by calling me a liar. In fact, that may be happening on social media right now as I speak. People posting on my Facebook page or tweeting, you're just lying. You don't know. That you just need to think, when that's your only response to evidence, you're lying. Something is funny there. Something is wrong there. The good news is that God is at work. Even though we see a lot of things happening in our society that are detrimental, that are causing marriage to become meaningless, that are plunging us more in the direction of sexual anarchy. At the same time, Christians more and more are waking up. I believe churches will become much more sensitive to the needs of those who identify as LGBT, that will be able to help much more and not drive people away in the midst of differences that we may have. And that the ongoing move in our country with judges overthrowing the will of the people will only awaken the people to righteousness. Take advantage of these very important resources. Call now 1-800-278-9978. The DVD, Such Were Some of You, will answer the biggest questions you have and is a great tool to sit down and watch with someone who identifies as gay or lesbian. And we're giving you with it free my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach about homosexuality. So call now, just $20, postage paid. If you can help with an additional gift, that's great. But call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, when people constantly accuse you of lying when you present them with the truth, you know the truth is not on their side. Well, you've heard all the talking points through the media about homosexuality, but what's the truth? Do people ever really change? Are homosexual relationships the same as heterosexual? And how many people are actually gay? We'll sort out myth from fact today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's not a matter of getting in the line of fire for me in that sense of the word. It's a matter of living in the line of fire, but there's no place I'd rather be. Great to be on the air with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The moment I brought up this topic in the first hour and spelled things out, in terms of myths and facts regarding homosexuality, homosexual practice, same-sex so-called marriage, the moment I brought that up, phone lines immediately were flooded with people wanting to weigh in, discuss this. We were able to get to a number of calls in the first hour. And hopefully in this hour, not only will we get to your calls and a lot of fascinating information for you, but we'll also be hearing from a leading Christian attorney who is on the front lines of dealing with major legal issues facing us across America. I mean, after all, if you voted in your state, say the state of North Carolina, 2 years ago voted 61% to 39% to uphold marriage, to say we are not interested in redefining marriage. We are upholding marriage as the union of a man and a woman. 61% to 39%, that's a pretty decisive vote, especially when you realize that the Democrats outnumber the Republicans in our state 3-2, and the gay activist side outspent the conservative Christian side, if you want to caricature it like that, by at least 2-1. It was still a very significant vote, 61% to 39%. Well, the Attorney General, Attorney General of North Carolina has said, I'm not going to defend that. He said there's no argument left to be made. North Carolina's Democratic Attorney General announced Monday that he's giving up the fight to defend the state's constitutional ban on same-sex so-called marriage in federal court. The announcement came in response to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling striking down a similar law in neighboring Virginia. The latest in a string of nearly identical judicial decisions, North Carolina is also part of the Fourth Circuit. Quote, all federal courts have rejected these arguments each and every time, so it's time for the state of North Carolina to stop making them. There's really no argument left to be made. Excuse me? How about the argument that marriage is the union of a man and woman? Always has been. And it's the union of a man and woman, not just the union of two people. And once you make it just the union of two people, two no longer becomes a sacred number, and you've opened the door for virtually anything, among many other arguments that can be made and have been made. How about the fact that the people voted for it? That the people voted for it, for an amendment in the state constitution. When you have consistently judges overthrowing the will of the people, this now matters, doesn't it? This is coming your way. When you have attorneys general saying, doesn't matter what the law says, doesn't matter what the people say, this is my view, these are major issues that we cannot ignore. These are major issues that we absolutely must know how to address intelligently. And that's not by shouting Bible verses at people. And that's not by getting angry with people. It's a matter of sitting and discussing issues. I mentioned this very briefly in the first hour. I encouraged a listener to search for Ryan T. Anderson with an O, and just to search for him online and look at what he's putting out in terms of articles, in terms of videos on the meaning of marriage. And it's so enlightening. He's got a post on the Daily Signal, my exchange with two New York Times writers on marriage equality and civility. It's clear where the argument is. It's clear that we're on the right side of the argument. It's primarily an emotional response, and we're just going to be labeled as hateful bigots. Truth and love will overcome all.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, I hear from people constantly via social media, or they'll email us or just post things in all sorts of forums, attacking me, challenging me, mocking me. That's fine. I mean, it's their point of view. They're free to do it, and they're free to agree with me, disagree with me, like me, not like me. That doesn't matter. But I'm unable to respond or interact. I'm unable to do radio, and as I'm talking to you, respond to your challenge on social media, or get into a six-hour Twitter debate with 140 characters each. And again, just to give you context for this, the last week we've had over 50,000 comments just on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. Would you like me to respond to 50-something thousand comments? You say, well, have staff do it. Well, who's going to pay for all the staff to respond to all the comments? We'd love to, just not able to. And then plenty of people only want to talk to me. We had just on our Facebook page last week, over 500,000 people actively engaged and reached over 6 million people just through that Facebook page. We're not talking about through all the articles, through all the other pages that we have and venues that we have, and not even mentioning radio or TV. So by God's grace, we're touching people, but we have a live radio broadcast. Even when I'm overseas, I do my best to do it live, even in the middle of the night. I have to rearrange schedule, you know, get up in the middle of the night, do radio, then go back to sleep, and then take a nap sometime in the afternoon to make up for it when we're in a 12-hour different time zone. It's my joy. But if you differ with me, if you think this is just rubbish, if you think that I've just got some standard talking points with nothing behind them, or I don't have a degree in a certain... call. Share your differences. If you just say, I'm hurting your feelings, I'm happy to talk to you. What's myth? What's fact? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What about the notion that people are born that way? People are born this way, and in that sense, you know, gay is the new black. This is the new civil rights movement. What about that notion? 866-34-TRUTH. Well, it remains a fact that there is no reputable scientific evidence. No reputable scientific evidence that anyone is, quote, born gay. There may be certain characteristics that in certain cases lead to homosexuality. There may be characteristics in someone's nature then put in a certain upbringing produce homosexuality. But here, listen to this. This is the very liberal pro-gay American Psychological Association. It's in a booklet, mini book on their website, Answers to Your Questions for a Better Understanding of Sexual Orientation and Homosexuality. And it is as pro-gay a mini book as you could ask for. All right? And here's what they say. There is no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons that an individual develops a heterosexual, bisexual, gay, or lesbian orientation. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor or factors. Many think that nature and nurture both play complex roles. Most people experience little or no sense of choice about their sexual orientation. Right, I understand that. People didn't just say, yeah, I think I'm going to be gay. The vast majority of cases, that's not the case. When people said to me, when did you become heterosexual, that's their argument. In other words, well, this is the way you've always been. And I'm sure I was born this way, made this way. You know, why can't they say born this way, made this way? Well, in terms of actual scientific research, I mean, what you've heard, you have as liberal pro-gay an organization as the APA saying that we don't know. That's telling you something. Here, check this out. Pro-gay Royal College of Psychiatrists. What is it? 15,000 psychiatrists in the UK. They had previously, as I recall, stated that homosexuality was biologically determined. They now say that sexual orientation is determined by a combination of biological and postnatal environmental factors. They are recognizing as well. They have backed off. Why? Because of evidence or lack of evidence, depending on which side you're looking at. Gay activist, professor of history, John Emilio, professor of history and of gender and women's studies at the University of Illinois, said this: what's most amazing to me about the born gay phenomenon, this is a gay activist and a professor, what's most amazing to me about the born gay phenomenon is that the scientific evidence for it is as thin as a reed. Yet it doesn't matter. It's an idea with such social utility that one doesn't need much evidence in order to make it attractive and credible. In other words, it's a useful lie. It is a useful lie. That's what he's basically admitting. Lesbian researcher Lisa Diamond, 2009 interview. The interviewer said this: the queer community has been obsessed with cultivating the idea that we all have fixed sexual identities. We've crafted terrific narratives and political platforms based on the notions that all gays are born that way. But what if sexuality is more complex? What if biology actually intersects with environment, time, culture, and context? Could we possibly be more fluid than we've supposed? If you live in New York City, you know that the mayor's wife is a former lesbian, Shirlane McRae, Mayor Bill de Blasio's wife. She explained that in the 1970s. I identified as a lesbian, wrote about it. In 1991, I met the love of my life and married him. And on it goes. Camille Paglia, influential lesbian thinker. Camille Paglia. She says homosexuality is not normal. On the contrary, it is a challenge to the norm. Nature exists whether academics like it or not. And in nature, procreation is the single relentless rule. That is the norm. Our sexual bodies were designed for reproduction. No one is born gay. The idea is ridiculous. Homosexuality is an adaptation, not an inborn trait. That's Camille Paglia. I've got more quotes to get into as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Bill in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Excellent. I'm actually from the Los Angeles County area in California, and when I was a teenager and in my early 20s there, I got hit on a lot by men, professional men, I mean educated men, and I began to ask them, when was their first sexual encounter? And the overwhelming majority of them, I would say 9 out of 10, would tell me preteen or early teen. I only had a couple of men who said as an adult. Under the influence of drugs and alcohol, they had their first sexual encounter. I think they're being and according to the FBI statistics, men who that happened to them when they were young, who end up choosing to go that way later on in life because of that trauma that happened to them, have 45 victims before they get caught the first time. Well, I'm saying when they become predators against young males.
Yeah, in general, Bill, in general, when you do look at sex offenders, that they themselves have been victims, a large percentage. I don't know the exact percentage, but a large percentage have been victims themselves. I don't know how it works out with women. I certainly know it's the case with men, that they have been victimized, and now they become victimizers. And yes, because it's the kind of thing that's not looked for or expected, you don't know that the person is a sex offender. It is normally multiple children that are their victims or others, older people, before they are caught because they just fit in as normal citizens. But let's just say this, since we recognize that the great majority of homosexual men and women are not molesting children, the great majority, understand that. The thing that's so important to recognize is how experiences shape us. And I constantly hear from gay activists, hey, I was never abused when I was a kid. Hey, I had a great relationship with my dad, and maybe they did. I'll take them at their word. However, I constantly hear from counselors who meet with people who are same-sex attracted day and night. Some have met with hundreds, some have met with thousands. And then pastors and their pastoral staff, some with mega churches, who've dealt with scores and scores and scores of people, if not more. And then others who over many, many years have dealt with thousands upon thousands, they say, oh, there's a very large percentage that was abused or molested when they were younger. And many of them point back to, I've had people write to me and say, I have now been able, in fact, I met with a fellow who was in our school of ministry for a time and is happily married now, but he recognized that the root of his homosexual attraction, that the root of those attractions traced back to when he was abused as a boy. And when he recognized certain things and got counseling and ministry, he was able to resolve those issues and overcome. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. 866-34-TRUE. If you differ with me, call. Did I say true? Truth, truth. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question about homosexuality, homosexual practice, myth, fact, born that way, people change, Bible, we'll talk to you. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I just want to play one clip from a very powerful DVD that answers many, many important questions that ministers to your heart. That is great to watch with your family. You've got family members who are same-sex attracted. You've got a kid that's come out as gay. You're wondering how to address these issues in the church, how to bring compassion and truth together. What does the Bible say? What can I hear from people who've been through this? Powerful DVD, such were some of you. I'll tell you in a moment how you can get it. But let's listen to another story, another testimony, clip number 14.
I went to this Christian counselor and told him the whole story, and he said, pray over this verse and it should go away.
I figured if I prayed hard enough and did the right things, this would go away.
I thought there was no hope out of this life, and I thought, well, I might as well just embrace it.
I did, to a point, feel, I guess, rejected by God, because I felt like I had gone to him to heal me and say, Lord, I don't want this anymore. But there was nothing. I opened my eyes and I would still see men everywhere that just attracted me.
I didn't want to be gay. I didn't want that.
Here's how you get this DVD. Such were some of you. I'm on it as well, from talking about Bible. Professor Robert Gagnon, the number one authority on the Bible and homosexuality, he is on the video. People have come out of homosexuality, been changed. We deal with social issues, moral issues, but above all, personal issues. You'll find it to be a tremendously helpful resource. It's $20 with postage, but when you order it, we're giving you absolutely free with it. My two-hour video debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis? Boy, you'll find this debate absolutely eye-opening, and it's yours free. When you order, if you can help with an additional gift to help us on the front lines, that would be awesome. But just make sure you get it for yourself at least. Watch it in your home Bible study. Show it in your church. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order right on the homepage, askdrbrown.org, and you will be blessed as you do. Back to the phones. Sherry in Greenville, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I just wanted to weigh in and say that, first of all, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have a hard time getting sucked into the science and the statistics of what goes into the making of somebody who's gay. That has never been my struggle, but because of that, I do not understand someone who does have the same sex attraction. My struggles have been different. God hates all sin. And when I get to speaking with my Christian friends, sometimes it's very easy to say that, well, the things I've heard, this is a total abomination in God's eyes. It's true. And so is lying and stealing and taking God's name in vain. But all these things seem to be, a little more acceptable. So the downside slope starts slow, and unfortunately our country is reaping the repercussions of saying that
just to jump in, Sherry, here's the issue. We wouldn't be talking about this at all if we're talking about what two men or two women do, okay? We wouldn't be talking about it at all. That's their business. If it's not breaking the law, that's between them and God. The only reason we're talking about it is because there's a national attempt to redefine marriage. The only reason we're talking about it is because religious rights are being trampled underfoot in the name of sexual rights. The only reason we're talking about it is because the media is bombarding us with it, because there's now an activist effort to even try to get churches to change what they teach and believe, because these things are taught in our children's schools. That's why we're dealing with it. I'm far more concerned in terms of sin in the church. I'm far more concerned about prayerlessness among Christians than about two men sleeping together, two women sleeping together. Prayerlessness is far more prevalent. I'm far more concerned about 100 other issues within the body in terms of how we're living. But as far as societal impact, that's the issue again. Gay activism, that's the only reason we talk about these things. Your call highlights that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to D.C. and Salt Lake City, Utah. Hello, D.C.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
This is a first-time caller. In fact, I'm a first-time caller on doing this at all, ever.
Well, great way to start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a fairly recent saved person. And the thing
what's your background, sir, before
well,
getting saved?
It's not LDS.
Okay.
I've been tortured for 64 years here in Utah. But other than that, no. It's my background was pretty much a reincarnationist, and then things happened, and it's a long story. It's actually a testimonial. I'm trying to study to become a pastor.
All right. Well, wonderful. The key thing is to really get to know the Lord well in your personal life, to really be a student of the Word in your personal life, to really live out your faith in a personal way, and then that's the greatest training for ministry.
Well, I'm on the track. It's just I have to be in this area. You have to be really Bible informed. I mean,
yeah, but it's good. It's you're learning to swim by being thrown into the lake. So
right, and my retention of the Bible verses is poor.
Yeah, but the key thing is just get the understanding in your heart and mind. You don't necessarily have to be able to outquote someone. But hey, we got a break coming up. So the reason for your call, and thank you for calling. It's great to hear from you and hear that you're part of God's family now. The specific question that you had.
Okay, the question on is my daughter was, we moved to transferred to a small town, and we were scared that she would get into practices of dope, and she was about 7 to 8 years old. We got her into all kinds of sports through the school and that, and she was a dutiful daughter, and she worked hard at these sports. She's now a homosexual. Mm-hmm. Question I have is I heard once there was a report that a doctor was saying that if there's extreme exercise before puberty, it will cause homosexuality. I don't know if you've heard of this or not.
No, I'm not.
A few reports that if there's extreme exercise before puberty, it will tend towards homosexuality.
No, I've not heard that at all, DC. But stay there. Sometimes it just could be the environment kids are in. You know, ladies softball often has a lot of lesbian girls playing. But stay there. I want to send you as a free gift this DVD, Such Were Some of You. I think it will be really helpful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire today. We're talking about myth and fact with regard to homosexuality, homosexual practice. It is Wednesday, Worldview Wednesday. Whenever we can, we focus on moral and cultural issues. And our goal is to separate myth from fact. If the only response you have to give someone is you're lying, with whatever facts I present, whatever documentation I present, and then if I present documentation and I reference different groups and the only response, well, they can't be trusted. In other words, you're going to discredit that. That really, really is problematic. So let's deal with facts. Let's sort out fact from fiction. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Derek in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Good, thank you. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for your program because you all, I was able to get some resources that I needed for myself. I am an ex-homosexual, and in my local church, there isn't anything that caters to that specific thing. And what I've ran into, I'm African-American, that a lot of times people are stuck in traditionalism, and they don't know how to deal with you. If they've never experienced it, and you're somewhat ostracized, you know, like, well, don't deal with him because he did that, you know. And I think that is sad, and that's why a lot of times people turn and, you know, they leave the church because there's no help there, and you want it. You know, I'm in church, you know, faithfully. I'm serving. I'm actually a minister as well now, and it's sad to see people just, you know, get hurt over and over again, especially when you came out of something that is just been a struggle your life, whole life, and something that you didn't ask for. I didn't, you know, ask for it to be molested or to be violated, but I was, and I had to deal with it, you know. So, I just wanted
to Derek, your call is super, super important. And first thing I want to say is everyone listening, pastors, Christians, families that are listening, it is so critically important that you don't stigmatize someone who says, I'm struggling with homosexuality, or I'm gay, or I came out of homosexuality. It is such an evil, wrong thing to do, to stigmatize someone, to give the impression that, oh, you are the worst of all sinners, or you know, we're going to get AIDS if we're around you, or our kids are going to catch, you know, just all these bizarre misconceptions. And in point of fact, we need to have doors open wider than anyone to say, whoever you are, come, we want to show you the love of God. And then whatever your testimony is, this is just more glory to God. This is just more evidence of the goodness of God. So, Derek, I'm sorry that there has been stigmatism or a sense of rejection on any level. The good news is that you haven't held that against the Lord, because, you know, a lot of people have a bad experience with church, and then they turn against the Lord, and that becomes a real problem. Derek, were you able to trace back homosexual feelings in your own life to being molested?
Yes, sir, I did. When I was 3 years old, I was molested by, and it's kind of crazy, it was a brother and sister pair, and then another relative, all my mom's first cousins, and yeah, and I suppressed it, and then eventually after I left home, went out to the world, did some things, I'm a Navy vet as well, it came out, you know, I began to just surrender to my flesh, and it was, you know, a horrible thing, and really, I was rejected by my real father as well. So that played a part in it as well. I always felt like I never had the love of a father, even though I had a stepfather to raise.
Hey, Derek, stay right there. I want our listeners to hear your story. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We've been talking about myths and fact with regard to homosexuality, homosexual practice. Just wanted to know the truth. And I asked Derek from Raleigh just to stay on another few minutes with us. Derek, thanks for holding through the break. I have spoken to so many people with stories similar to yours, and then I know pastors who've done a lot of counseling, professional counselors who've counseled hundreds or thousands, and in many, many cases, similar situations to yours, rejection from a father or lack of a close bond with a father, sexual molestation in youth, and then actually living out a homosexual lifestyle and identity, and then even saying, hey, this is who I am, I'm born that way. And when I talk to gay activists or others about it, they say, no, that's just, that's not the case. None of us were abused, and we all had great relations with our fathers. But the fact is, Derek, you're not making this up. This is your story. You didn't just get this out of a textbook somewhere. How did you view God when you just were living this out and thinking, this is who I am? Who was God to you?
Honestly, I have a Baptist background, so I knew about God, but I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was more of a traditional thing to do, go to church every Sunday, you know, during the week for Bible study, but I never had a connection sustain me. So I just, I did it ritualistically. So I just looked at God as a thing to do, the man in the sky, as some people call him. Not anything solid, not a solid foundation, and being rooted and grounded in him until I was born again. But here's the thing, though, I must say, I knew that it was wrong, and I would always tell any guy that I was involved with, I will never love you like I will one day love my wife.
Did you have heterosexual desires
I dated girls before. I dated girls before, I went, into that lifestyle. I had girlfriends before. I had received a prophecy over my life that I would be married. So I kept that with me. I never threw that away. And I remember even sometimes I'd be like, why am I doing this? And I can just even remember the last time that I went to a club, I was like, why am I here? I don't want to do this anymore. It's something deeper that I want. It's something missing, and I need to find. And I know God is. I know it's you, and I need you to help, because I don't want to die like this. I want to be who you call me to be. And thank God, after I made that decision, made that choice, God began to work on my heart, and He led me back to Him and to have a relationship with Him, and I do now. And I thank God for that.
So let me ask you a couple of other questions. I'm fully aware that there are folks who say, I've never had a desire for the opposite sex. You say you did, but got involved in homosexuality. Do you think there are others that are involved in homosexuality and they're convinced that's who they are, but it's really not who they are?
Yes, sir. I believe it. I really believe it. A lot of people, and thank God for having I'm a leader. I'm a leader by nature. So I would never follow the crowd. I'm just different. And so I think a lot of times people will go with the group so they won't stand out to be persecuted. You see it everywhere, on the job, I saw it in the military. People will just join a group to belong. I'm not that person. I'll stand out and stand alone. But if it's not what I believe, I'm not gonna agree with it. I'm just not gonna go that route. So I do believe that.
Listen, your testimony is so powerful, needs to be heard. And Derek, you be a leader among God's people and fulfill what He's given you to do. Thank you for the call, sir. God bless.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. As we are talking through the difference between myth and reality when it comes to homosexuality and homosexual practice, as I said earlier, this is an issue we cannot ignore. Earlier this week, in Virginia, Fourth Circuit Court said that saying that two men or two women cannot, quote, marry is the kind of segregation that our country is against. Now the Attorney General in North Carolina has said there's no argument left to be made. There's no argument left. So these are issues we must address. Attorney General saying there's no argument left to be made against same-sex so-called marriage. We are joined with Kelly Fedorik from the Alliance Defending Freedom. And Kelly, thanks so much for joining us. I know you folks are swamped at this point, but could you give us some insight in terms of why it is that federal judge or appeals courts, why they're ruling state after state after state, overturning the will of the people and saying that the ban on redefining marriage is unconstitutional?
Well, thanks so much for having me on. And it's truly unfortunate development that we are seeing taking place across the country, where these judges are coming in and completely disregarding the will of the people. And the latest case was just this week in Virginia. You know, a majority, more than 1.3 million Virginians voted in a free and fair election that marriage should be between one man and one woman, and they have the right to affirm marriage as such, and judges shouldn't be taking away the people's proper role in defining such an important institution.
Now, did Justice Scalia warn that this was going to happen based on a Supreme Court decision? Is this something that there's some legal reasoning behind, or is it just some plague of activism that's spread everywhere?
Well, you know, the Windsor decision was very clear that its decision was limited to the precise case in front of it, which was the federal government needed to follow the state's definitions of marriage. But the court was very clear that when it comes to marriage policy and defining marriage, that states and the people in those states should continue to be free to affirm marriage as between one man and one woman. And this is something that we expect if the court follows what it says, that it will continue to uphold state sovereignty in this area once these cases are appealed and the court comes out next summer.
All right. What's your attitude there at ADF? I'm friends with some of the attorneys there. I've actually spoken at a chapel service and been out and visited with folks there a number of times. I know Alan Sears is full of enthusiasm, full of faith, full of confidence. And as followers of Jesus, even if society goes down in certain ways, we're still full of confidence in God's goodness and help. But you are Christian attorneys. You are dealing with cases like this day in, day out across the nation, many victories in terms of freedoms of speech and college campuses and things like that, but other setbacks. What's the attitude? Are you folks discouraged, like this is out of control? You're just saying, hey, we're not surprised. We have a strategy. Where are you folks at?
Well, you know, we know that the U.S. Constitution and the state constitutions affirm the people's right, that the people have the authority to affirm marriage as one man, one woman, through their marriage amendments. And in the U.S. Supreme Court's most recent decision last summer in Windsor affirms that continuing freedom. So while it's discouraging and unfortunate to see judges striking down these duly enacted amendments, ultimately, this will be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, and if they are consistent with past rulings, they will also uphold the people's right to affirm marriage as one man and one woman. There are good, rational reasons to do so. So we're very hopeful that despite what we've seen in some of the federal courts striking down marriage laws, that the Supreme Court will ultimately say that this is an issue that belongs to the people and their elected representatives.
And why is this not a matter of someone's constitutional right? Why don't any two people have the constitutional right to marry if they want to? Why does it have to be a man and a woman? Isn't that some type of religious discrimination that's being imposed on the nation?
Absolutely not. Marriage is something, it's a unique relationship that has transcended diverse cultures, faiths, you know, throughout history. And it's traditionally been, it's a unique relationship between a man and woman because it's the only relationship that is biologically necessary to give the next generation. And kinship and biology matters. Children have a right to know who their mom and dad are and where they came from. And this is an essential relationship that the government has seen an interest in protecting. There's a lot of other relationships out there that are good and wonderful relationships, but the relationship between a man and woman is unique. It's different, largely because it has that capacity to bring forth the next generation of children.
Right, and to eliminate that is then to eliminate a major reason government even cares. Kelly, I've got one more question for you right after the break. We've got a short break. I'm joined by Kelly Fyodorek from Alliance Defending Freedom. She serves as litigation counsel with ADF in its Washington, D.C. Regional Service Center, working for Center for Marriage and Family. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is about much more than who wins or loses in court. We should never lose sight of the fact that we are fighting, loving, committed couples to enter the bonds of marriage.
And of course, the standard talking point, that was Attorney General Mark Herring regarding the ruling affecting Virginia, overthrowing the will of the people, and saying now that a combination of any two humans now constitutes marriage. Joined with Kelly Fyodorek, who's filling in for Austin Nimmick, who got called away from the Alliance Defending Freedom. So, Kelly, thanks for shuffling your schedule to join us. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Happy to be on.
All right. Last week, when the president signed his executive order and would not grant a religious exemption regarding those receiving federal funding or federal contracts with the government, I said that this was, and I discussed the bill with an ADF attorney and then wrote an article, a letter to the president, which went viral, thankfully. I don't know that he read it, but a lot of other people read it. But I said that this was an act discriminating against religion in the name of anti-discrimination. And I had people piling on social media, telling me I'm wrong, I'm misunderstanding it. And let me give you a hypothetical. Tell me how this would play out. I actually do know a mega church in California that does so much social work in their city that when their city received federal funds, $750,000, that they just turned to help with the poor, the needy, they just turned it over to the church, said, you're doing this already. Why should we reinvent the wheel? So the church put it exclusively for social programs, not for missionizing, but just for social programs. They designated that, and they did that. Is it possible that based on this executive order, that there could be requirements put on this church in order to receive those funds, that they would have to, say, hire practicing homosexuals to be part of their church staff?
There is, and I think that you hit on what has unfortunately been the untold story, which are the other victims of this executive order are the millions and millions of homeless, the victims of sex trafficking, those who are single moms, orphans. There's so many desperate people in need of help that faith-based nonprofit organizations have served and served effectively for many, many years. And they are going to be the ones, these people are going to be the ones who are going to be affected when these organizations are no longer able to receive the adequate funding to serve them. And that's what's truly unfortunate. Obama has come in and said, look, we'll do business with you if your views on sexuality agree with our personal views on sexuality. And not only is that unfair to these effective organizations, but it's a real tragedy to the people that they help.
Yeah, and the fact is, if you see after, say, tornadoes devastate an area, a city, you'll see Samaritan's Purse there, you'll see World Vision there, you'll see Operation Blessing there. You don't normally see a Richard Dawkins Association, you know, an atheist group, and they're on the front lines. Not to say atheists don't care. It's just that the fact is that it's the faith-based groups who are doing most of the work, the humanitarian work, on a volunteer basis and a sacrificial basis to help hurting, needy people. And they're doing it because that's what we do as people who love God. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And yet these restrictions are coming. So could it apply, say, to a Christian university that gets some federal funding, that the same hammer could come down on them?
Well, right now, it's as it's written, it applies to federal contracts, and it's a little unclear what the future holds. There's still a rule process that needs to be implemented in terms of how far-reaching is this rule. But you make a really good point, and that is, you know, Catholic Charities has had a federal contract that just ended last week, a 5-year contract with the federal government for disaster relief. And they've been serving very effectively victims of natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina. They're there to serve and to help these people who are in a very trying time in their lives. And it's really unfortunate when the Obama administration steps in and says, "Oh, well, now suddenly if you don't agree with our theology, if you don't agree with the Obama administration's personal view on sexuality, suddenly you're no longer qualified to help these people who desperately need to be assisted."
Yeah, it is massive, and it's really unprecedented. Hence my letter to the president said you've crossed an unprecedented and dangerous line. Kelly, thank you so much for your work on the front lines. We will continue to do what's right alongside of you, but we appreciate that we need you in the trenches, and that as these cases go to the Supreme Court, you folks are right there. So we're standing with you and trusting for a positive societal change. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. That was Kelly Fyodorek from the Alliance Defending Freedom. If you want to find out more about their work, go to telladf.org. Ash in Atlanta, real quick, we're short on time, but please dive in with your comment or question.
Yes, my question is, with homosexuality being a very small portion of our population, I think you threw out statistics a few days ago, around 2% or so, how do we see it actually affecting organizations in such hypothetical situations that you guys are mentioning?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. What's actually happened now is that you have the president, for example, saying unless you hire homosexuals, then you cannot do X, Y, you can't get federal funding, federal contracts, grants. So what it is that instead of saying, hey, we understand that you have religious beliefs and convictions, and we recognize those and respect them, after all, religious freedom. That's fine. No, instead, the law is now crafted in such a way that everything changes based on it. So redefining marriage, this now affects the whole state. It affects what's taught in schools. It affects many, many, many other issues. It affects businesses if you redefine marriage. So you're redefining marriage, this massive social experiment based on the sexual desires and romantic attractions of a tiny percentage of the people. That's the issue. Have whatever relations you want as long as you're not breaking the law and hurting other people. That's between you and God. You're not abusing a child. You're not, you know, breaking into someone's home. Have whatever relations you want, heterosexual, homosexual. It's between you and God. But don't now redefine marriage, some massive social experiment based on the romantic attractions and sexual desires of a tiny, tiny percentage of people. That is societal suicide in terms of an experiment. Maybe we can talk further another day, but I'm out of time. I did want to get to your call. Make sure, friends, you get a copy of Such Were Some of You, a super practical DVD. We deal with biblical issues. We deal with practical spiritual issues, testimonies of those who've been changed. You'll be moved. You'll be stirred. Folks are really thrilled with this DVD as they're watching it. It's $20 with postage, but when you order it, we're giving you free with it my 2-hour DVD debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality. That's worth the price alone, but that comes for free with this. So call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and order right on the homepage. My bottom line today, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:8, there is nothing we can do against the truth, but only for the truth. Be patient, friends. Hold your head high. Truth will triumph in the end.